Blog Talk Radio.
Thank Lord. You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, the day is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, let you, and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together, and exalt his name and give his name the glory that's due unto him. All power, majesty, and dominion belong unto our Lord. Well, come on in. Make yourself right at home. We just welcome you here today, and we just thank and praise God for you. You and you. I'm excited that you're here with me on today, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be tremendously blessed by the word of the Lord on today. So why don't you grab your Bible, come right on in and make yourself right at home. We're going to look at a wonderful lesson on today. It's going to be a new covenant. And so let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for all that you've done and given us. We ask, oh God, that your sovereign and your holy will be done and accomplished. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to be talking about a new covenant. And you'll find it over in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 27 and 29. And then we're going to look over in Hebrews, chapter number 8, verses 6 through verse number 13. So Matthew, it states, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through verse 13. But now have you obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant have been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. In that he said, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is already vanished away. Hebrews 8 and 10 said, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law into their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. We must recognize, children of God, that the Old Testament written on stones lacked the power to change people's lives. Jesus died to institute a new covenant and to write his laws in our minds and on our hearts, and giving us the power to live victoriously for him and in him, a victorious life in him. Now, when we look further, many people have wondered what Jesus' statement in Matthew 26 and 28 really mean. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Surely those who heard Jesus make the statement that day understood, because they were raised with the very oracles or utterance of God. The original Greek word for testament means covenant, and the disciple who were with Jesus probably understood the meaning of the blood covenant. Although Jesus was implementing a new blood covenant with that night, he was building it on the foundation of the old covenant or the Old Testament. Thus, every time we receive communion, we remember the blood covenant that we have with God, a binding agreement sealed with precious and innocent blood of Jesus Christ. Although the ideal of a blood covenant may be repulsive to many people today, nearly every primitive tribe on the earth understood its meaning. Many Hebrew rituals involving animal sacrifice degenerated into something repulsive into the New Testament believers, even more so to the people of post-Christian era. Yet those blood sacrifices bore the mark of the original covenant of the Hebrew people with God. The new blood covenant that Jesus introduced the night before his death, however, is for all people, and we will be forced until and will be enforced until the end time and the ends of time. The blood of Jesus Christ has accomplished something wonderful for all believers, ensuring that they all are no longer strangers or foreigners to the household of God. Through redemption by his blood, they are members of his divine family. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more stranger or foreigners, but fellow citizen with the saints of the household of God. Because the ritual associated with the covenant have degenerated from that which was found in the Old Testament and New Testament, many missionaries have been seeing blood covenant enacted but did not understand their significance. Thinking that they were simply heathen rituals, they often dismissed them or missed the opportunity to explain the many meaning of the Last Supper and the New Testament. The doctrine of the blood covenant is one of the foundational doctrines of the Christian faith. Because many Christians have a poor understanding of this doctrine, they frequently live powerless, defeated lives. They may claim to be Christian, but they lack understanding about the available power to overcome sin and Satan, which caused them to exit in a beleaguered state of lukewarmness. They are not necessarily in that state because they enjoy the pleasure of sin, but because they know of no other option. Then it is because their religious leader, do not understand what it means to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8 and 17. We have the opportunity to join in the blood covenant with God and become blood brothers with Jesus Christ. Then not only does all that we have belong to him, but also all that he has is ours as well. Two major covenants, the Old Testament and the New Testament, provided for the redemption of mankind. The Old Testament laid the foundation and established the pattern for redemption, which came to fruition in the New Covenant by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Today's lesson will discuss the need for the new blood covenant and the benefit to the one who enters into that covenant. The need for the new covenant. Let's look and get an understanding of that. Our text in Hebrew begins with the comparison of the high priest under the old covenant with a great high priest, Jesus Christ, under the new covenant. The writer of Hebrew wrote that the quality of the priest matched the covenant, 8 verses 6 to 8, clearly delineate this comparison. It said, but now have he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon the better promises. For if the first covenant have been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. The old covenant was weak because of the weakness of both the high priest and the people. Mankind could not keep the demand of law, and a violation of one point of the law caused one to be guilty of breaking the whole law. Now, the old covenant, as we take a look at that, although God began to establish the old covenant as far back as Adam and Eve, no formal covenant was known before the time of Abraham. In Hebrew language, the word covenant embodies the sense of cutting. On Abraham's part, circumcision or cutting of the flesh sealed the covenant. Throughout history, the word covenant has been loosely associated with cutting, whether in the Old Testament, circumcision, the New Testament, circumcision of the heart, or the degenerative form, such as those observed by Stanley and Livingston, of the cutting of the wrist. Abraham gave himself to God in utter abandonment, and the blood covenant bound to God and Abraham and his descendants forever. This meant that as long as Abraham and his descendants bound themselves to God, he bound himself to them to sustain, to protect them, and to the very end. Sadly, mankind have repeatedly broken the covenant, but God has remained eternally faithful. Now, the inadequacy of the covenant, let's take a look at that. Hebrews chapter number 8, verses number 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Covenant was inadequate in the ways, in a number of ways. First, it was weak in that it was only a shadow of the things to come. For example, the atonement with its blood sacrifice was only a shadow of the remission of sin, which finally received its fulfillment in the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. The atonement sacrifices of the Old Testament were unable to cleanse a person of his sins because it was impossible for the blood of bulls, of goats, to absolve sin. Hebrews 10, verses 2 through 4 said, For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshiper once purged should have no more conscious of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it was not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. The Old Testament and the Old Covenant was also inadequate in that its priesthood was flawed. The priesthood faced the same dilemma as all the other members of the human race: the constant struggle with sin. He could not offer a sacrifice once for his sin, the remainder and his own sin, and then the remainder cleansed and sinless for the remainder of his sin. The guilt of his sin remained, and he needed to offer sacrifice repeatedly for his own sin. As a result of the old covenant weaknesses, mankind was left in a state of longing to return to the garden from which he was cast out, to eat of the tree of life and to live forever. But he would never be able to return to that euphoric setting in the garden. Still today, mankind hope for a reconciliation with God that will restore the fellowship and joy that was once lost. Now let's take a look at the promise of the new covenant, and this is very critical for us to understand. Approximately 600 years before the birth of Christ, the Spirit of God moved on the prophet Jeremiah and foretold the coming of his new covenant that would address the weaknesses of old covenant. And you'll see that in Jeremiah 31 and 33. God promised that the new covenant would be very different from the old covenant. Instead of being written externally on the tablets of stone, the new covenant would be written within mankind's heart and mind. No longer would God be distant from man, holding up a condemning law written on stone. Instead, he will write his holy law, here it is, in mankind's innermost part. And he will also inhabit his people and give them both power and the will to obey his law. You'll see Philippians 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. As those 600 years crept by, mankind must have dreamed of a day when God would enact this new covenant. God made another promise regarding the new covenant, that he would forgive sins and remember them no longer. Jeremiah 31:34. Many years later, Apostle Paul penned words that beautifully describe the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses and blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took them out of the way and nailed it to his cross. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. Now let's take a look here, because this is critical for you to know the power of the cross and the sacrifice that would take place at Calvary. Matthew 26 and verse 27 and 28 state, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Now, the cross stands for all time as a reminder of the greatest sacrifice ever. It symbolized the fundamental requirement of the new covenant, the shedding of the blood of the perfect sacrifice. The new covenant does not just cover our sins or postpone judgment, but it remits them through the judgment placed on Jesus Christ. Implicit within the word remission is the concept that our debt of sin is paid in full. This is the heart of the teaching of the book of Hebrews. That, again, is very, very critical. When you are baptized in Jesus' name, we say for the remission of your essence, we're saying your sins have been paid in full when we invoke that name over you and state for the remission of your sins. Powerful for us as the children of God. Let us look further. The phrase, the end of the world, in Hebrews 9:26 states of the historical point in time where two ages or time of the covenant met, and that was at the cross. At the cross, both the Old Testament and the New Testament met simultaneously. It is important that we realize that those who have lived since Calvary are not only benefactors of the cross in the New Testament. The blood of bulls and goats offered under the Old Covenant did not take away sin, but it only postponed the judgment. However, when Jesus Christ came, he provided redemption for all mankind, including those that was up under the Old Covenant, who by their faith in God had sacrificed the blood of bull and goats. Moreover, the cross was where the old method of atonement ended and the new method of remission began. One of the great benefits of the cross was that Jesus settled the sin problem and made it legally possible for God to remit our sins and make us new creatures, creation in Christ Jesus. That's why the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin is very, very critical. And I pray that you have a better understanding, because many people fight it, but they don't have understanding, amen, that when it's invoked, we're saying all of your sins that you committed in your life have been paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Again, I'll say that again. One of the greatest benefits of the cross was that Jesus settled the sin problem and made it legally possible for God to remit our sin and make us new. That's profound. That's what happens when you get baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sin. Now, the mediator of the new covenant, mankind needed a mediator because he lost his relationship with God through sin, leaving him with no basis upon which to approach God. Now the blood of Jesus Christ serves as a propitiation or a substitute to atone for our sin. When Jesus, as the great high priest, ascended into heaven, he carried the blood of the sacrifice into the holies of holies and became the mediator of the New Testament. Now we may stand without condemnation in the presence of the living God. Jesus was able to mediate a new covenant for two reasons. Number one, because of who he is. Number two, because of what he has done. First, Jesus bridged the gulf between God and mankind through the incarnation. See 1 Timothy 2:5. He is God manifested in the flesh. Second, Jesus is mankind's mediator because of what he has done. And you'll look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 through verse 22. In essence, there could have been not a mediation between mankind and God had there not first been reconciliation between them. Mankind was unrighteous and spiritually dead while he was in that condition. There could be no mediation. However, Jesus reconciled us through the death of his physical body, and he proceeded to mediate a new covenant for us. Now, when you look at Hebrews 9:15, it states, "And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." My God, child of God, what a blessing. Let's look at the benefit of the new covenant. Just as the United States Constitution and the laws of the United States of America and Canada guarantee certain protection, the new covenant guarantees certain benefits and protection to the believers. This may be one of the least understood concepts of the new covenant. Occasionally, we may hear individuals use the phrase such as plead the blood or get under the blood when praying against effects of a trial or temptation. But what does that word mean? To plead the blood of Jesus is a statement that expresses one's faith in his shed blood. It is a matter of appealing to the blood covenant with Jesus Christ and claiming the guarantees of scriptures. When Satan, the accuser of the brethren, falsely accuses a person of the past sins that the shed blood of Jesus Christ have remitted, the believer can turn to the scripture that declare him clean and proclaim not guilty. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and receive in hope of the glory of God. Now let's look at having access to God. Although full access to God was not available until after 50 days after the crucifixion, Jesus' finished work on the earth displayed an objective lesson for us. The veil was torn in two from his top to his bottom, opening the way to the Holy of Holies. You'll see that over in Mark 15:38. For the first time, the inner sanctuary was no longer the exclusive domain of the priesthood, but everyone had access into the presence of God. The writer of Hebrews declared, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You'll find that over in Hebrews 4:14. Three times Paul used the word access, referencing to our ability to approach God as a direct result of the new covenant. The first appearance of this word is in the writing in the book of Romans, where he directly connects it with justification, one of the many benefits of the new covenant. Jesus became the propitiation for our sins, and thereby we are at peace with God. He bore our sin and died, just as though we are dying for our sins as required by the law. Therefore, our entering into the covenant relationship justifies us. We are then at peace with God and have access into his grace. Paul's second uses of the word access mentions the equal access to God enjoyed by both the Gentiles and the Jews in the New Testament, New Covenant relationship with the Lord. And you can see that over in Ephesians 2:18. Paul described the alienated state of the Gentiles prior to the New Covenant when he wrote that at that time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and stranger from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Now, however, the Jews and Gentiles are alike and have access directly to the Heavenly Father. Now, Paul's third use of access also appeared in the book of Ephesians, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by him, by faith of him. The International Version states, rendered this verse as follows: in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We no longer have to hide our face from God, but because we have been hidden, have been forgiven, and are free from sin, we can enter into the presence of God with freedom and confidence. Tremendous blessing. Let's look at the change of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. One feature of the new covenant is that in Jesus Christ, all things become new. Apostle Paul taught that entering into the covenant relationship is a process of putting off the old lifestyle and putting on the new lifestyle. This includes changing the way one thinks, which produced the fruit of righteousness and holiness. It is impossible to truly be in covenant relationship with Jesus and continue in a sinful lifestyle. But now, being made free from sin and become covenant to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the in everlasting life, Romans 6:22. Educator refer to a change such as this as paradigm shift, but theologian calls it conversion. In reality, it is the covenant relationship whereby the Spirit of God produces in believers the fruit of righteousness and holiness. It is no longer mankind attempting to be good, but it is the good God working good in him and through him. In it is mankind resting from his work and by faith allowing God to work the miracle of sanctification. It is common for a new convert to return to the place of employment following the conversion, and follow employees tell them that they look different. And what is this difference? It is the testimony of a changed life. It is a moment a person is transformed from being a slave to the flesh to being a believer redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The transformed person is no longer a slave, a foreigner, a non-relative, but he has become a child of the Heavenly Father and a blood brother with Jesus Christ, bearing the inherited resemblance of our Father. It is no wonder that people say a new convert look different and then ask, what happened? Without question, a person who entered into a new covenant is different and have been changed. Now let's look at the power to overcome. When Abraham and God entered into the covenant, they became one. Through Jesus Christ, we too can enter the covenant and with God and become one with him. As long as we remain in him, we have all the benefit and protection of the Son of God, the one who overcame temptation and even death, Galatians 2:20. the key to possession power for the living and overcoming life of victory is a living in a crucified life, a life which one rejects and crucifies his fleshly desire. When fleshly lusts are dead and no longer respond to the beckoning of Satan's temptation, the flesh no longer produces sin. The Holy Spirit is able to provide divine guidance and direction. Romans 8 verses 1 through 4 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of his sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's why it's critical for us to walk after the Spirit of God. One of the greatest opportunities a person has in life is that of entering a covenant relationship with God. Jesus fulfilled his part of the new covenant by shedding sinless blood at Calvary. Through faith, we accept his sacrifice for our sin, and we enter the covenant relationship with him by repenting of our sin. Following the work of faith of repentance in the believer, he submits to water baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of his sin, and God seals the relationship by filling him with his Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The believer then has power to live a rich, full life separated unto God through the blood covenant. The most beautiful part about it is the universal appeal of the new covenant. It is for all people everywhere, regardless of ethnicity or background. Why not enter this covenant with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today? It's one of the most powerful things that we can do for ourselves and give ourselves in this world. He is great, and he is greatly to be praised. There is therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or she, the way, and behold, all things become new. My God, I tell you, what a word. Father, we thank you, dear God, for this word on today. We thank you for every one of our listeners that is listening in. I pray that everyone, Lord, will turn their hearts to you and, Lord, receive what that you have for us, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus and what you've done, and receive this new covenant that we have entered in with you. And, Father, we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, y'all. It's been a blessing to have you with me online today, and I pray that this has been a blessing to you. And like I always say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And I pray that God will open great and mighty doors unto you, and that your house and your children and your children's children will come up under this new covenant and be blessed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, it's for you. It's for your household. It's for whosoever will. I hear the Bible says, just let them come. It is for you. And I come to tell you, children of God, he is yet waiting to bless you. And all he's waiting for you is just to say yes. All you have to do is surrender to his plan and his will for your life and just repent of your sin. Be baptized in the name of for the remission of your sin. Live a holy and an upright before the Lord our God, and watch God do some great and mighty things in and through your life. I pray that this has been a tremendous blessing to you. And call someone and let them know about Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. I know it's going to be a tremendous blessing and have been a blessing to you. Visit my website, drorm.com. DrHelenOrm.com or ShekinahGloryTabernacle.com, or come to my Facebook and leave a message if this has been a blessing to you on today, if it opened up your understanding, or if you need more revelation and things, just leave a message there and we will dialogue and share with you the word of the Lord. Until we meet again, may God bless you. Bye-bye.